Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rock and Roar Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian Roar. Welcome back to another episode of the Rock and Roar Podcast. Today is Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. This is episode 18. 18 in life, folks. Good old Skid Row. But, this is episode 18. Today is Happy National Chicken and Waffles Day. You guys never had chicken and waffles before. It sounds like an odd combination, but I'm telling you, it is one of the best combinations you'll ever have. It's sweet, it's savory, it's fried. I mean, fried chicken, waffles, I mean, syrup, it don't get no better than that. Put some butter on there. You can have different types of chicken on there, like chicken wings or legs or, you know, breasts or tenders. You know, there's just so many options, and you know, with the holidays coming up, you can have different types of flavors for your waffles. It's just a real good combination. We went to a waffle shop in up around Cleveland. It's called Wally's Waffles. I'm telling you, they have some of the best chicken and waffles you'll ever have. Go to, you know, your local Waffle House. I mean, they got chicken and waffles there, or heck, go to the store and get you a big old box of fried chicken. And I know it just sounds weird, but I'm telling you, once you try it, you'll be hooked. It's just so good. And Roscoe's made it real famous. Roscoe's chicken and waffles out west, you know, out in California. So they changed the scene when it came to breakfast. So definitely check it out if you like that type of stuff, and you know, get you some for dinner tonight. There's nothing wrong with having a little breakfast for dinner. Sometimes that's the best meals right there, or the easiest ones, or the unexpected ones, and you know, ones that just kind of fall into place. And breakfast is good anytime, so hey, why not have it at nighttime? You know, it's dark out, it's dark in the morning, heck yeah, why not? So yeah, get you some chicken and waffles, and man, it's just so good. And makes me hungry just thinking about it. But, yeah, so happy National Chicken and Waffles Day. On this date, and we'll do a little on this date. So in 2018, as you can tell, we got Tom Petty playing in the background. That's what our theme is going to be on today. So on this date in 2018, what would have been Tom Petty's 68th birthday? Rest in peace, buddy. I mean, the whole, when Tom passed away, the music scene felt like a big gut punch to the stomach, because Tom, he brought something to music that, you know, not a lot of artists can do nowadays, and that's talent. I mean, he brought a lot of passion. He loved music, he loved writing and everything. And yeah, he had some demons, you know, like we all do, and everything like that. And really, I don't know what had happened. I heard it was an OD from pain medicine, but who knows? He could have been going through something that we had no idea about. You know, it could have been cancer he was going through. I hate to say that word, but it could have been something serious like that. And you know, you just never know what's going on behind you know, closed doors. Even the most famous people have the biggest struggles and everything. But so in 2018, what would have been Tom Petty's 68th birthday, the city of Gainesville, where Tom was from, and the band, the Heartbreakers, were from, they renamed, there's a park there called Northeast Park. They renamed it Tom Petty Park. So hell yeah. You know, Tom, he came on the scene back in the early to mid to late 70s, and once he got with Jimmy Iovine, he was producer. He is like half owner of Interscope Records, and you know, him and Dr. Dre, they, you know, they have their connection with, you know, long story short, Jimmy Iovine, when Dr. Dre was coming out with his first self-titled album, The Chronic, he couldn't find anybody, any labels was like, oh, you'll never get this on the shelves, you know, this is too graphic, you know, with with the album art and everything and the context about the album and everything. And Jimmy Iovine was like, you know what? Oh, heck yeah, we'll do it. You know, we'll distribute your CD and everything. And their friendship started then, and it has continued on. And, you know, them guys are very successful together. You know, they launched the Beats by Dre. They launched, you know, a whole bunch of stuff together. So, I mean, they're real good friends, and he's a great producer. He worked with Stevie Nicks. I don't know if you guys know about their relationship. It was on and off. But he had produced a lot of Stevie Nicks, a lot of Fleetwood Mac. You know, he was more to the rock stuff. You know, Tom Petty was the biggest band that, you know, he was a part of producing-wise. And a lot of the songs that he had produced went on to become hits. You know, Breakdown, Renegade, and Refugee. Sorry, wrong band. Styx is Renegade. I'm sorry about that. But Refugee, and, you know, he had a good connection with Tom and the band and Mike Campbell. And Mike Campbell's their guitar player. And, you know, he just had a really good thing going on there, and, you know, continued success. So it's pretty cool that, you know, the city of Gainesville renamed it Tom Petty Park, you know, as they should. You know, not saying that, you know, you have to do it, but it's just a nice homage, a nice tribute to the man. You know, it's like in Graceland with Elvis Presley, you know, that's a tribute to him. Never been there, would love to go there. Always heard really good stuff. People that have been there have told, you know, really good stories and everything. Like, it had the green shag carpet, and everything is all authentic from when it was back when Elvis was living there, and, you know, just his lifestyle and everything. And thought it'd be pretty cool, and, you know, be kind of cool to go to Tom Petty Park and play some Tom Petty. And you just can't go wrong with him. I mean, he's a great writer, great guitar player, and just a good human all around. And it's a shame that it had happened, what had happened. So, you know, we'll always have the music, you know, as sad as it is. You know, it's like when these artists die or pass away, you know, however you want to say it, they take a piece of us with them, you know, because they've got us through, they get us through some good times, they get us through some bad times. So it's like when we lose them, it's like we're, you know, we're losing a loved one, you know, just like you're losing a pet. They've become a part of you, they become a part of your family, and, you know, there's a reason why they get the Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame, you know, because they make such an impact. So rest in peace, Tom. I love you, buddy. You know, your music will live on forever, and, you know, just, we'll always be thinking about you. And, you know, Mike Campbell, his guitar player, said that they would never do another tour again, and rightfully so. I mean, you can't go on the road without Tom Petty in the Heartbreakers. I mean, that's, and bands have done it before, like AC/DC did it with Axl Rose, like I said before in a couple pods before. But, you know, I mean, it's cool that they do that, you know, because the fans, they just want to hear, you know, the guitar, or they want to hear, you know, the music, or they want to hear the vocals. And so it's sad, but, you know, we always have the music, so that will always live on forever. So thank you, Tom. And, you know, if you guys have any bands that you really miss, or, you know, that you want to talk about or anything, you can always hit me up on my socials. If you're over on Twitter, I'm at BROHR3. On the TikTok, I am at Brian Rohr 1986. And if you're over on the gram, the IG, the Instagram, I am at BROHR. And if you feel like donating to this podcast to spread the word out there to the masses and get this sucker going, and, you know, I want to thank you all again for, you know, downloading the pod and, you know, giving it a listen, and hopefully you're getting something out of it, whether it be entertainment or information or just, you know, something to kill some time. I'm very appreciative. So you can always donate to this podcast, and we can get it out there bigger and better. And if you want to do that, you can go to the website. It's www.patreon.com. / capital R, and then all is lowercase, OCKNROHR22. Like I said, there's three tiers to there, so whatever you feel, you know, you want to do, there's three packages, so not too much. It's $3, $4, and $8, so if you want to do that, I'd be very appreciative, and, you know, we'll keep pumping them out. And then we'll keep, like I said, you guys are my therapy, so I enjoy talking to you, and I hope, like I said, that you get something out of this podcast, so thank you again, and we'll go on to our topics for today. So today's topics, we're talking music festivals. I know that there's some coming back, but, you know, back in the day, music festivals was the shit. I mean, you would get a whole bunch of bands under one bill and, you know, pay one price for it, and there's nothing better than that. So we'll talk about music festivals. Then we'll go into a little different venture today, the health benefits of music. You know, like I talked about before, it gets us through some good times, some bad times. So we'll talk about how music affects the health and the benefits it does. And then just a little side note, we'll talk about, you know, people with accents that sing clearly. I know that sounds kind of weird. We'll talk about it when we come to the topic, but just fascinating. You know, nothing, I don't know, it's just pretty cool. But so back to music festivals. So, of course, you know, the biggest one was Woodstock. It came out in 69, took place in New York on a, I believe, an old field. I don't know if it was an airport field or just some kind of field, but had the biggest bands at the time that no one thought would ever blow up. So we're talking, of course, Jimi Hendrix. He's known for, you know, the Woodstock thing. And then, you know, you have Joe Cocker, you have Linda Ronstadt, you have Joni Mitchell, you know, you got Bob Dylan played there, you know, The Doors, all these bands that no one really knew about that would blow up to be superstars. So that's the best thing about music festivals. So, of course, you know, like I said, Woodstock's one, Lollapalooza's one for the grunge era and the rock. You know, the Family Values Tour, Warped Tour for all you punk heads out there, you know, Hellfest for all you hardcore motherfuckers out there. What else we got? We got Warped Tour. What was the other big one? Coachella. You know, that's more recent. And, you know, just a Ozfest. Hello. Yeah, that's the one that came to mind. Ozfest. Had a lot of good bands at the Ozfest back in 05. So music festivals, I mean, it's, yeah, that you get a large bill. I mean, now they have, you know, Rock on the Range and what it's called, or Incarceration. So there's still festivals going on today, and that's awesome. That's the best way to get the most bands under one bill for one set price. And, you know, with the way that it's going now, you can do one day or you can do 3 days. So you buy a ticket. If you just want to see your favorite bands on a Friday night or a Saturday, you can do that. Or if you want to stay all weekend, you can do that too and get to know everyone and, you know, do whatever you guys do. So there ain't no judging there. You know, everyone's just there for the music. That's the number one thing. Everyone is there for the passion of the music. And, you know, maybe, yeah, you get a little loose at times and all that, but that's just, that goes with it, you know, like in Buckeye Lake, they had Hookahville, and, you know, it's just, it all depends. So there's different venues for different types of music and everything. Like I said, Hellfest was for hardcore music, took place in mostly New York, and then you have Vans Warped Tour, which was, you know, a punk rock slash, they would have like big artists like a Joan Jett played 1 year at Vans Warped Tour, and it would just go around, you know, from big city to big city all over the United States, and you would just be playing, and, you know, they would have multiple stages set up, so you might have three bands playing at the same time, and you just kind of pick and choose which stage you want to go to. Different stages have different bands, and so sort. And, you know, some stages, like the Ernie Ball stage, had, like, local artists, people that were, you know, not as famous, of course, but just wanted to play at Vans to get their name out there and everything. And that's the beauty of it. You know, it was always about the music. It was never about money. It was never about greed or anything. It was just spreading the word of music. And that's the way the good Lord intended it. You know, he wanted us to, you know, you wonder what kind of music, you know, Jesus listened to. And was he a metalhead? Was he a softy? Was he, you know, punk? You know, he probably loved it all. And that's the way it should be. You know, like I said, if it gets your foot tapping, then you're in a good place. So, but so family values, that took place in like the late 90s. That was the Limp Bizkit, Korn era, when those guys were really fucking big, especially Limp Bizkit. You know, Fred Durst, yeah, say what you want about him, but the guy, you know, he's a damn good artist, and the band's really good. And, you know, you got Wes Borland on there, John Otto on the drums, DJ Lethal, you know, I think the bass player's name was Sam. They don't ever get much love. You ever notice that? Unless you're like a big name like Geddy Lee or, you know, Lemmy or, you know, Flea or anything like that. Bass players don't get much love. And, you know, they're the backbone of the band. They hold down the rhythm and everything. If it wasn't for, you know, bass and drums, it would just be, it'd just be dead. I mean, Fleetwood Mac's one of the best backing rock and roll rhythm bands out there. So if you didn't have Mick Fleetwood and, you know, was it John Mack or something? No, I don't know his name, but no, McVeigh or something. No, that's Christy McVeigh. I forget the bass player's name, but anyway, they hold down the fort when it comes to the rhythm of the music and everything. So the family values, it was like the whole Limp Bizkit when they were in their peak, and, you know, like Significant Other, that album, you know, Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water, you know, Break Stuff. That was, well, Jesus, when that came out on MTV, that was, and still to this day, you can relate to that song. That's the best thing, you know, when you hear these songs and you can relate to them. That's what it's all about. But anyway, back to festivals. So you had different types for different types of music. Like I said, Lollapalooza was your grunge, was your metal, you know, not real heavy, but it was mostly grunge, took place, you know, in, I think, like Seattle or something. I might have been wrong. They played all over, but they recently did another one a couple years ago, so that was really cool. You know, Jane's Addiction, they were known for being in Lollapalooza. I think Perry Farrell was one that orchestrated it, and, you know, he was an oddball, but, you know, he was a great front man and everything. But yeah, music festivals, nothing better than going to a good one. And, you know, some of them are free, like you go to Zucchini Fest and Obetz, you know, that's free, and you got good bands playing there. Or, you know, Popcorn Fest, and sometimes, like, you know, those are more home, like, hometown shows, but you can still have great artists play there. But music festivals, you know, it was, like I said, best way to get most bands for one set price. And, you know, you would find bands that you might never ever heard before, or you've heard of them but didn't know how they were. And some bands are better live than they are on CD, and vice versa. So nonetheless, it was just a good time to get out there, listen to some live music, and, you know, hang out with your friends, meet new people, do new things, and, you know, just enjoy life, you know, get away from the chaos for a while and just let the music take control. That might be a lyric of a song, but if it ain't, you know, I copyright that shit, so. But, you know, music festivals, so Ozfest, you know, one of the longest running festivals, founded by Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon. So they would have, of course, you know, big bands play with them, like I went and saw them. I went to Ozfest in, I want to say, 04, 05, 2004, 2005, right after high school. My sister had a free ticket and didn't want to go to it. She didn't know any of the bands that were playing. And everyone that was playing on the second stage is who I wanted to see. So you had, it was all hardcore, but it was, so you had Life Once Lost, you had Between the Buried and Me, you had Strapping Young Lad, you had Walls of Jericho, Unearth, who else, Bleeding Through played there, you know, just a lot of bands that I was really into at the time, and it was awesome to know that they were playing at Ozfest, so they were getting on a bigger stage, and that was the setup, you know, they were getting, you can tell they were gaining momentum in the scene as the bigger crowds that they were playing for and everything. And yeah, it took place on the side, like you walked into the parking lot and it was just in a big open parking lot. And, but you know, the side stage, it was just as good. And they had the merch and you could go there and meet all the people and talk to them and everything. And that was really cool. Good old meet and greet. And, you know, but, so Ozfest and then the opening, like the main stage, they had Dragon Force, they had Hatebreed, of course Ozzy played, and just really good, always had good bands, you know, whether they were picked by Sharon and Ozzy himself, or maybe Jack and Kelly, you know, put their two cents in, whoever had the lineup had a really good selection going on, so Ozfest was always good to go to, and, you know, just festivals are fun to go to. It don't matter, like I said, which ones. It's just real good time. Country festivals, those are coming back now. There's just all kinds of music festivals. So go online and check you out some and, you know, see if they have any coming to a city near you. And I know with everything going on, like COVID and all that, a lot of bands aren't wanting to, you know, get out there, but a lot of them are, you know, a lot of them, that's how they make their money, so, and, you know, merch and everything, that's how bands make it on the road, so go support them, and, you know, if you guys been to some festivals, let me know what kind you've been to, and what bands were playing and everything, so, you know, it's just a real good thing, and so next on our list, we'll talk about the health benefits of music, so, studies have been done. I can't quote anything, but, you know, I have read that studies have been done that, like, people with dementia and, you know, music helps the mind. So it eases the mind, but then it also helps the mind. So anytime you listen to a song, it takes you back. Like, if you hear one song, it takes you back to a memory that you remember from that song. So a lot of people that are going through like dementia or you know, Alzheimer's or anything like that, I'm sorry that you're doing that, but music has been known to help with the memory, long-winded way of saying it, and you know, it's helped with rehabilitation too, so you know, if you're trying to, you know, get moving and all that, if you just had leg surgery or something, you know, you want something that gets you uplifting, you know, you just want something that gets you going and everything, so they kind of give, music kind of gives you a boost in the butt and gets you going out there, and it helps with the mind, like I said, it helps with the soul, it helps, you know, emotionally, if you're, sometimes you need a good cry, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I cry sometimes, so, you know, yes, you have to, it feels great, you know, whether it be good tears, bad tears, but, you know, listen to music, sometimes it can bring up memories that, you know, aren't so good, or beautiful memories, you know, like Tom Petty, we was talking about him earlier, and he, like, listening to his playlist right now, just hearing his voice, you know, it's beautiful, but then it's also sad as hell at the same time, because you know he's gone, and I don't know, you just have that attachment with them. Same way with, you know, Eddie Van Halen, just listening to him play, it's just, you know, sad as hell, but it's beautiful at the same time. And, you know, the day, like I said, David Gilmour is my number one favorite guitar player, and I have told my wife many times that the day that he passes away, it's going to be probably one of the saddest days of my life, just because he has such an impact on my guitar playing. And you know, these people, they don't think anything of it. They're just like, I'm playing guitar and everything. But you know, people, we get drawn to that. We get drawn to their attitude, you know, because you, if you're pissed off and you pick up the guitar, you know, you're going to write a badass riff. Or, you know, if you're in a mellow mood, you're going to play some bluesy stuff. Or if you're, you know, just wanting to have, you know, a good time or all that, you know, just depending on what mood you're in and how you're writing and everything. So your mind, your health benefits and everything with music really go hand in hand. And it's helped, like I said, people out in rehabilitation, learning to walk, you know, learning to write, learning to speak and everything. So it's, music is more powerful than we give it. So, and it's a platform to say what you want to. So, you know, if you're having a hard time getting words out, you know, talking to people, you can always write it down and sing it in a song. You know, however you can to get it out is all that matters. So music is very powerful. And, you know, second, I've had, you know, experiences with it and everything. I'm sure you guys have too, whether it be emotionally, physically and all that. But just know that, you know, music is a powerful tool. And, you know, just use it wisely. Or, you know, just have fun with it. That's what music is. You know, don't take it too serious. Like, don't be, you know, a Bruce Springsteen and a dickhead and, you know, think, my nickname is the boss. You know, okay, you suck. Sorry if you like Springsteen, but I don't know. The guy just grinds my gears. You know, he thinks he's, you know, king shit and all that, but it's all good. You know, he's making millions of money while, you know, I'm slaving to the grind. So really can't talk much shit about him, but I don't know. He just thinks he walks on water. That's what I'm trying to say. My little Springsteen rant. Sorry about that. He does have good songs. I'll give him that. You know, I like two or three of his songs. But yeah, we'll stop talking about old Brucey. And little side note, like I was saying earlier, you know, people with accents that sing clearly. So what I'm talking about here is like people from Britain or like Australia, how they have accents, but when they go to sing, it's as clear, like you couldn't tell that they had an accent or anything. It's just cool. It's crazy and it's cool how your voice can transform like that, you know, whether you're singing or talking or anything like that. But you know, accents, you know, they can be sexy too. You know, nothing better than a good old Spanish accent, you know. And or you know, if you're into like Paris or, you know, the French accents or British or anything, you know, it's cool how the human voice is. And I know that's just nothing to do with music and everything, but I just thought it was cool. I just kind of jotted it down and always thought it was fascinating. Like I said, how people with accents, you know, when they would go to sing, they'd just be, you know, like how it is me talking right now, just be clear, hopefully, and, you know, just kind of hide the accent and everything. So more power to you. A lot of great, great foreign artists and everything. And, you know, we appreciate you. We love you. And it's music. So crank it up. Have a good time. And so we'll go on to our top five for today. Since today is National Chicken and Waffles Day, why not do a top five favorite types of chicken? So chicken is one of the most versatile meats because you can do so much with it. You can, you know, you can bake it, you can grill it, you can chop it, you know, you can do just so much with it. And, you know, there's just so many, like there's thighs, there's legs, there's breasts, there's drums. You know, do you like flats or do you like drum? Like, was it flats or drums? Is that the other one? When it comes to chicken wings, man, it don't matter. It can be any kind. flats are good. You know, you get a more coverage on them, so to say, like when it comes to sauce and everything, and they're a little bit more easier to eat. With the drums, you're a carnivore. I mean, if it's the rule of thumb is if it has a bone, eat it with your hands. So it don't matter if it's ribs, chicken, you know, a tomahawk steak. If it's got a bone on it, fucking pick it up with your hands, you know. Make you feel like a Viking or a carnivore for a little bit. And if you don't eat meat and you're listening to this, I'm sorry about the next, you know, 10, 15 minutes. But, you know, we're going to talk about chicken. And, you know, there's probably tofu chicken. So if you guys never had tofu, it's pretty good. It all depends on how you make it. You know, the Chinese place, they have a hot and sour soup. And they put tofu chunks in there, and I'm telling you, it makes it. It's so good. Tofu is just like, it's not really anything. I don't think it's just like a, I don't know, it's just like a block of something. Really don't know what it is. That's probably not good because I'm eating it, but, you know, it just tastes good, and I haven't died from it yet, knock on wood. So we'll talk about their top five favorite types of chicken. Like I said, we'll go through the list and we'll talk about them. No shocker to any of these. So we got fried chicken, barbecue chicken, grilled chicken, Parmesan chicken. So like the over spaghetti. Oh my God. And then last but not least, stuffed chicken. So back to the top of the list, fried chicken. I mean, who doesn't love fried chicken? Whether it be southern fried, whether it be, you know, like lightly fried. Southern fried has a little bit of kick to it, you know, like the Nashville chicken. It's got a real big kick to it. Really good. But, you know, you don't have to have that. You can just have good fried chicken. Like I said, nothing wrong with that. Nothing better than the crispy skin. I know that may sound disgusting, but you know, that's the best part of the chicken is when you peel that skin off and it's crispy and you bite into it and you get the crunch, you get the, oh, you get the goodness, you know, the grease dripping in your mouth. And it's definitely not the most healthiest, but by God, it's the most delicious. So fried chicken, whether it be, you know, the legs, the thighs, the breasts, don't matter. You know, chicken nuggets are always good. If you're into like boneless chicken, which there is a lot of debate on that. Some people call it chicken nuggets. Some people call it, you know, chicken bites. Boneless chicken is just good. I mean, it's easier to eat for people, easier to dip. You know, if you want to dip it into your favorite sauce or anything, that's just good. I mean, fried chicken is one of the best creations out there, so hats off to whoever accidentally made that. I wish I knew offhand. If you do, please let me know. And if you're listening to this and you created fried chicken, please let me know. Or if you have your own special family recipe and you want to talk about it, you know, hit me up on my socials and we'll talk about it. So fried chicken. Next is barbecue chicken. Like I said, no shocker there. Whether it be skinless, mostly it's skinless. And if you ever had or have a chance to eat white barbecue, oh my God, white barbecue sauce, oh my God, it's really good. It's more of like a vinegar-based. It's really big down south. So Georgia, Alabama, they call it Alabama white sauce. I know, yeah, take that as you may, perverts. But so it's really good. It's vinegar-based, and it's not real sweet. It's more tangy. It looks awesome and it tastes great. So check it out. You can find some at your supermarket or wherever you get your groceries or anything. So white barbecue or just plain barbecue, you know, whether it be hickory, smoky, you know, good old Sweet Baby Ray's. You can't go wrong with that. And all their barbecue is really good. You know, and just if you're grilling it, you know, or anything like that, it's good. Putting it in the oven, that's good too. It's a good old barbecue chicken. You can't go wrong with that, with some mashed taters and everything. So really good combination. Another good combination is grilled chicken. like I said, you know, tenderloins, whether it be breasts or anything on the grill's good. You can put, you know, a stick on the grill and it just tastes good. And, you know, just the grill, anything grilled is good. There's a way that, like, you, if you over grill it, you know, you get it real dry and everything, I think the internal temperature for chicken is like 140, 160 or something, somewhere between there. But, you know, always make sure that your chicken is definitely cooked all the way through. You don't want to get any salmonella, no bacteria or anything like that. So wash your chicken. You know, some people do that too. Like, some people will wash their chicken before they cook it. Never done it. Don't know anyone that does, but have heard it before. So don't know if it makes a difference. Maybe it does when it comes to, like, doing shake and bake or anything like that. So definitely something worth checking out. And yeah, good old grilled chicken. Next on the list, we got Parmesan chicken. So I forget the name of it offhand, but I think it's just Parmesan chicken. Duh. So it's over spaghetti. It's a baked and breaded chicken patty, pretty much, that's over spaghetti with sauce on it. And, you know, you just get the best of both worlds. You get, you know, you get the pasta side and you get your meat and everything. It's just really good. It's a great combination. If you ever get a chance to go to Cheesecake Factory and you get the chicken parmesan, that thing is bigger than the plate. So the piece of chicken, it's bigger than the plate. It's not real thick. It's real thin, so it's easy to eat. They pour the homemade sauce over it. Like I said, Parmesan cheese on top and everything. So really good. Make it at home. Make it any way you want. You know, you can put it on a bun. You can always do that. Nothing wrong with a good old chicken slider. Buffalo chicken's good too, if you guys like that, like a little bit of heat and everything. So, like I said, chicken is very versatile to work with, and it's just delicious. And last but not least, when talking stuffed chicken, one of the first, the very first meal that my wife made for me when we first started dating was stuffed chicken. So it's just really good. She had stuffed it with, I think, broccoli cheese sauce, and put gravy and mashed potatoes. Oh my God, it was really good. And, you know, that sealed the deal. It was, you know, just mind blowing. Never had anything like it before, other than from, like, the school, not the school cafeteria, definitely not, nothing like that. You know, shredded chicken is what they would serve over mashed potatoes, and that's just as good too. But in elementary school, they used to have a thing called Market Day, where your family would order pretty much packaged food, frozen food, meats, cookie, you know, bakery stuff type of all that. And we had a stuffed chicken there one time, and it was really good. You know, chicken cordon bleu is good. Excuse me, stuffed chicken cordon bleu. So that's chicken stuffed with ham and Swiss cheese. You know, that's really good too. And see, there's just so much you can do with chicken. And, you know, all depends on what you like to do. You can have, you know, Chinese chicken, chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. You know, there's so much. Chicken's very versatile. So, like I said, if you're against meat and anything, I'm sorry if that grossed you out. But, you know, us that like eating meat, can't go wrong with chicken. So thank you very much out there. And, you know, just keep the chickens alive. We need you. And with that being said, we're going to do a little Did You Know, end the show on a little Did You Know. So I'm talking about one of the most painful things that happens to people, not on a daily basis, but, you know, you've had it before and you know how bad it fucking hurts. And I'm talking about hangnails. You guys don't know what hangnails are, or you've never experienced hangnails. It's when you are biting your nails, but you get a piece on the side and it is attached to your skin, and every time you, like, hit it, it pulls on your skin. It's not excruciating pain, it just hurts. So the word hangnail comes from the Middle English meaning, it comes from the Middle English ange, meaning painful, and nail. It has nothing to do with hanging. So hangnail has nothing to do with hanging. It's just kind of hangs there and it bugs the shit out of you. That's the best way to describe it. It's just very annoying, you know, whether it be on your fingers, on your toes, on your nose. No, I hope you don't have a hang nose, but nails, yeah, it don't matter. And you always hit it, no matter how hard you try to not hit it or not, you know, get in anything, you know, you always, when something's hurting, you always hit it the most, is what I'm trying to say. And that goes with anything. Whether you have a cut on your finger, you always happen to hit it on every freaking thing that you're going around. Even if you're not picking anything up, you know, you can just hit it on the wall or hit it on the chair or something. And it's just when something's hurting, you don't realize how much you use it. You know, like this past, when I had my hernia surgery, didn't realize how much, like, because your stomach is it was an umbilical hernia, for those of you that don't know, but you don't realize that your stomach is one of the biggest muscles in your body, so even sneezing, you think, would not hurt. It hurt like a son of a bitch. But, you know, it's just one of them things that when something's hurting, you don't realize how much you use it until you can't. That's what I'm trying to say. So that's the hangnails. My gosh, they hurt. You guys know what I'm talking about. And even though you try to clip them real small, they still gets caught on the finger on the side. So it's just a pain in the ass. But it's crazy that it has nothing to do with hanging, but it still hurts. So we get through it, folks, and we got through another episode. I want to thank you all for listening, and hopefully you got some kind of, like I said, information or entertainment out of this, and I enjoy talking to you guys, and please reach out to me, and whether you know me personally or on the web or anything, you know, leave me some comments, leave me some reviews. I'd like to know how it's going, or, you know, if there's anything you want me to change or all that, or certain people you want me to have on here. I'm an open book, so please let me know. Again, as always, I want to thank the veterans out there, past and present. Thank you for service. And, you know, we wouldn't be here without you. So you are the backbone of this great nation we call the United States of America. So thank you very much. And get yourself some chicken tonight. You know, we had Wendy's, and it was really good. Had the new barbecue bacon burger. Really good. Had cheese crusted bread on it. Really good. And go get you some fried chicken tonight. Try chicken and waffles. I'm telling you, it might be a weird combination, but it works. Sweet and savory. That's the key to everything right there. So you guys have a good rest of your evening. Thanks again for listening. And thank you, Tommy, for serenading us. And I know you're up there just rocking out, buddy, and we love you. And we're going to end the show with a little Free Falling. So you guys have a beautiful Wednesday, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you. Do, 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 do.